So for the second talk in this session, morning session before before coffee, a second talk is by Andrei Chubukov, who's at Minnesota. Interplay between charge density wave and pair density wave orders in the cuprates.
Let me start by thanking organizers. It's really a great pleasure to be here. It's a wonderful conference. And it's probably, I was involved in the organization of a number of conferences in recent years. And every time when you do something, you need to find excuses to be able to invite people talking about cuprates. Here you don't need any excuses, which is great. It's actually, everyone is talking about what people are really interested in, not what they pretend to be interested in. Yeah, okay, great. So it's a combination of work done with my student Yushan Wang in all papers, and Daniel Achtenberg, who was involved in second part of what I'll be talking about. And also Alexei Tverik and Rahul Natkishore participated in stuff that I will show at one point. So the idea, of course, originally came from Santa Claus style or SO5 induced. That you need one bag and everything comes from one bag, superconductivity, charge order, everything. So this was what we originally want to do, to check whether both charge order in underdoped cuprates, which are still metallic, and superconductivity come from the same bag, and under by this bag we more or less understand spin fluctuation exchange. But it ended up with something, I think, a little bit more generic, which is analysis of possible charge orders in a system with cuprate-like Fermi surface. There will be words about hotspots. I think hotspots is basically sort of forbidden word here. But by hotspots, I would mean just charge hotspots, namely that at the end of the day, that will be fermions connected by experimental measured Q of charge density wave. Call them hotspots. In a sense that magnetism will be a little bit less involved. So anyway, the first interest that all started with, at least in our case, was to follow what Katrin said and what Mitlitsky and Sajdev did while they opened a new chapter of studying of generally spin fluctuation approach, that you consider a model which we normally apply to spin-mediated superconductivity, and it turns out that this model also had attraction in charge channel, in charge density wave channel, not only in superconducting channel. This is what so many people happily missed for so many years. So we looked at one version of charge order, not the one that Katrin was mostly talking about, but the one seen in experiment. And generally, if you want to play this game, you want to take fermions in hot regions connected vertically or horizontally to each other, and you want to ask whether these two guys can pair together and produce you charge orders with finite momentum either along x direction or along y direction. And this problem by itself is quite interesting because naively you can ask people what comes out here, and the answer will be no. There will be nothing because in half of the regions, fermions are have parallel velocities, anti-nested, which is the worst case for any kind of pairing. But it turns out that when you include dynamics of the interaction, you can overcome all this. And to make long story short, the order does develop, so you can solve for the order. This is where you need to solve a couple set of equations. And basic result is that interaction is repulsive, peaked at large momentum. So order parameters that you have in this red region has opposite sign to order parameters that you have in blue region. It's the same story that we normally play with D-wave superconductivity. That's how we get D-wave superconductivity. Interaction is repulsive, but order parameters connected by the interaction have opposite sign. The blue region and red region are not equivalent. You can clearly see it here. The velocities of these two guys are almost anti-parallel. Velocities of these two guys are almost parallel. So obviously amplitudes of the order parameters are not the same. And so if you expand in lattice harmonics, you get everything. You get constant, S prime, you get D wave. And this is just a reflection of the fact that if you have order which involves two different fermions, then you cannot use any symmetry for classification I mean, all symmetry components are there because one fermion and another fermion transform in different way when you make rotation by 90 degrees. And basically, this is very similar to what Seamus was saying and was working with Subir on this. I want to rephrase it a little bit. Experiment shows that, and Andrea was also, of course, experiment says that it's predominantly this one, or mostly this one, with some admixture of a constant. You can look at this and can rephrase it that this means that order parameters that you use change a sign when you change momentum by pi, when you go from one corner to the other. If it changes sign, most likely it's due to repulsive interaction peaked at large momentum. So this is rephrasing the argument in favor of pairing, not necessarily mediated by spin fluctuations, but something that knows about sign change of the order parameter between one corner and the other. Otherwise, there's no reason why you should expect more D-wave-like structure of the form factor. Anyway, but this is just more like a remark. What really came out as sort of surprise is that if you just look at this order from generic perspective and ask how many symmetries can this order break, then it turns out that this order breaks more symmetries than you naively expect, or can break more symmetries than you naively expect. Namely, we all understand that if you take incommensurate charge order, it breaks U1 translational symmetry simply because you get a solution in the form e to I kr, and the question is where do you put r equal to 0. So translational symmetry is broken simply because q is not 0, and therefore conjugated of this guy is not the same as itself. It also expected somehow that at least for some range of parameters, you can cook up a model in which you break C4 symmetry. Namely, you can have order with momentum along y direction, you can have order with momentum along x direction, and the symmetry may break, the system may break symmetry between one and the other by spontaneously breaking x to y symmetry, and therefore producing a state which additionally break discrete lattice rotational symmetry. This is what Steve was talking about. But less expected is that order parameter like this can potentially also break time reversal symmetry. And the argument is rather simple in some sense. When we take this pair, it couples to this one. Again, by taking that sine of this guy and sine of this guy are almost minus to each other. But you can also take, and this pair has center of mass momentum at k. Of course, you integrate or you involve fermions, not necessarily at one point, but in some region, but still you can talk about center of mass momentum of Fermi surface fermions connected by experimental value of order, of charge order. But you can take another pair of fermions with center of mass momentum minus k. And it also connects to another fermion in a different region. And I have two different order parameters, one with k, one with minus k. They're not equivalent, because k and minus k are not equivalent point in the Brillouin zone. As a result, the phases of the two parameters not necessarily have to be the same. And if the system chooses, under time reversal, one can trivially show this, that one order parameter goes into the other. So under time reversal, you essentially change k to minus k.
Q
2q is this one, as the way it's written here.
2Q.
Sorry?
The order wave is 2q.
Yeah, it should be q over 2 and q over 2 here. I'm sorry. Yeah, my fault. I was switching all the time between 2q and 1q and did it in most slides, but not at all. But if the phases of the two order parameters, if the theory will tell you that the phase between the two order parameters differ by pi over 2, then you had plus minus pi over 2. And then, of course, under time reversal, you go from one state into conjugated state. And then you break time reversal symmetry. And just to show you how it looks, this is the state if, again, this solution shows, then the state has both variation of density, call it bond density or side density. It's all short-range physics. But long-range physics is cosine function for this particular case along y direction. And you also have current, which runs along x into with also changing sign if you go along y direction. So there's antiphase between modulation of density and incommensurate charge And if you look at, again, let's talk about symmetries for a second. If you look about, is there other symmetries broken? Mirror symmetries are also broken. It's not new. I mean, the same fact that order parameter transforms into conjugated one under time reversal is equivalent to say that it transforms into conjugated one under mirror symmetries. So, but if you combine time reversal and mirror symmetries, this is what you needed for Kerr effect, then you need real calculations, and the answer is yes, if you take this order parameter, there is non-zero Kerr signal, although of course theories cannot tell you how strong it is. And one remark here, if you take it as a face value and calculate what will be field produced by this, there will be incommensurate field, but unless you close this current loops by the boundary, there will be no bulk homogeneous field. Okay, and of course, knowing this is encouraging, at least for theorists thinking about symmetries, because if we go back and rewind what we heard yesterday, there were talks, number of talks about various experiments showing evidence for static charge orders. This is what we call U1 breaking. There were talks about nematicity, and this is the breaking of C4 rotational symmetry. And there will be talk by Philip and also heard Aaron Kapitulnik, Kerr effect in neutron scattering measurements. Probably allowed several explanations, but most natural one is that time reversal symmetry is broken. So this is what, at least in the face value, you expect from this order parameter with vertical or horizontal Q. And as one last remark before I show some results, is that if you take charge order with diagonal momentum, nothing like this happens. And the reason why it doesn't happen is twofold. On one hand, if you take the order that Katrin was talking about, which is better in terms of doing calculations within mean field, but still this order has center of mass momentum strictly at pi zero. So k and minus k are equivalent points. So as a result, you cannot even talk about phase difference between order parameter with k and minus k. It's the same order parameter. So there is no time reversal breaking by definition. And also, if you take two possibilities, there are two possibilities. One order parameter like this, QQ, another is Q minus Q. But these two don't talk to each other. The reason being that if you want to make state with this order parameter and then to the endpoint at the state with another order parameter, you'll be far, far away from the Fermi surface. And this is what you need normally to calculate coupling between order parameters. So as a result, the two order parameters for QQ and Q minus Q essentially don't talk to each other. The word don't talk to each other means that they develop simultaneously. Then you always get, by definition, checkerboard state. You never get a stripe state. You never break the symmetry between the two. In contrast, if you take charge order with vertical slash horizontal momentum, first, as I already said, K and minus K are not equivalent points. And this allows, it doesn't tell you that symmetry will be broken, but at least it allows you to search for possible time reversal. And also if you take order parameter along X and order parameter along Y, they of course talk to each other, you can make a square, keeping all fermions close to the Fermi surface. As a result, there is a strong coupling between two order parameters, which you need to analyze and to see whether it leads to breaking of C4 symmetry. And last thing is what Steve already said in his talk. There is quite general reason which you can reach by either doing Hartree-Fock or doing some bit more sophisticated stuff, that if you have a state which breaks both continuous and discrete symmetries, that unless there are special circumstances, then discrete symmetry will be broken first. And so you generally expect to have sequence of transitions when first the system just breaks breaks discrete symmetry and goes into either into pneumatic state or in a state which breaks time reversal, and only at lower temperatures the system breaks primary order parameter and becomes really charge order. And of course this again encouraging for theorists because taking back the slide that was shown yesterday, you have clear evidence that at least in terms of pneumaticity it gets broken before charge order sets in. Again, we can discuss detail of this plot, but I think there's evidence that discrete symmetry is broken before continuous symmetry. Okay, but this is, in some sense, wishful thinking from theory point of view. Because so far I was trying to say all the time in a boring way that it can be broken. But one needs to do real calculation to see whether discrete symmetry is actually broken or not. And for this, one needs to go to modeling. And this is where we go back to, if you like, charge hotspot model. At this stage, I'm really interested in fermions near the Fermi surface, connected by, if you like, experimental Q. And I assume that somehow there is instability towards this order. And I ask the question, what is the interaction between four possible components of charge order, two along vertical axis and two along horizontal axis, and belong to the same plucket? And again, the fact that this guy interacts with this guy, assume that it's already taken care of. In other words, that there's some attractive interaction in charge channel. When you formulate a problem like this, it becomes less microscopic-like, because then you only need to integrate around this plaquette to understand what the coupling between all these four order parameters are. And remember, each order parameter is U1 order parameter, so it has amplitude and phase. So just one word about theory. I'm going to ask a question about coupling constant. In general, the theory is like this. There is some coupling constant which you cannot derive from underlying lattice microscopics, but the only thing you generally have to assume in order to be on the safe ground is that you deal with low energy theory, so it has some upper cutoff, which basically is how far in energy space you go away from these hot regions. And generally, to be under control, coupling should be smaller than cutoff. If it's not, you can still do calculations, but accuracy is, of course, completely lost. And the results, I can show you slides with all free energy, but of course, let's talk about the results. So when you look at the results, the first result is good, and we reported it, that there is a range of parameters when you can get what I alluded to. Namely, you get a state which is striped. System spontaneously breaks a symmetry in X and Y direction. And then if you allow some coupling between, say, this region and this region, for this you need to do some modeling. But in some sense, whatever modeling we're doing, we get the same. That the relative phase between these two guys wants to be pi half. There is also an equivalence between even an odd component here, but in terms of phase, it's always pi half. So it looks nuked. So the system really shows the state, which breaks time reversal and breaks C4. But disadvantage is that it only occurs when coupling is of the order of cutoff. If you want to go into real regime when all calculations are under control, you find out that the state is different. And the state is checkerboard, it has some properties, but once it's checkerboard, it definitely does not break C4 symmetry. And we had a lot of discussion yesterday about checkerboard 1Q versus 2Q state. And I guess the evidence for 1Q state is pretty strong. So this state may be interesting for theories, but not for application to reality. And this brings me essentially to the subject, to the title of the talk. Namely, I want to go back to what Katrin said. And her message at the first part of her talk was that there is equivalence between D-wave superconductivity and charge order with diagonal momentum. Not exact, but exact in a particular limit when you neglect curvature around this hot region. You don't need to be in a hot spot, so all you have to do is to neglect curvature. And these are basically degenerate twins, meaning that you have to consider them both together. And if you want to derive Ginzburg-Landau model, you cannot say take one parameter to zero and derive only for the other. You need to do for both, and this is what Katrin did. If you want to, this is just to say that k and minus k is the same as diagonal order here. But the question is, does charge order with what I call CDW, it's the one with vertical or horizontal Q, does it have a twin? Twin in the sense that within the same model, there will be another order degenerate with the one that I considered. And the answer is yes, there is a partner. And this partner is called paired density wave, which was introduced, I guess, by Steve and Eduarda, and then more recently discussed by Patrick Lee, Daniel Achtenberg. Everyone understands different things by pair density wave, and the one that I will introduce is not exactly the same as other people are talking about, but it's still the same pair density wave, which is modern version for what was called a number of years ago full differential Larkin-Ovchinnikov state, which is superconductivity with finite total momentum of a pair. And within this model, the reasoning goes this way. I take the same pair of fermions, these two. I can pair them into charge order, meaning I can make a condensate of the two fermions with charge order with transferred momentum. Again, my fault, should be Q over 2 here. So suppose that Q is a distance here. But you can equally take the same two fermions and make a particle-particle out of them. And then you will get pair density wave, meaning that superconducting condensate, but with non-zero total momentum of the pair, which in this case will be twice K value. K is here, so twice K will be actually a small number, because K is close to 0 pi. So twice K is close to 0, 2 pi, which is 0. So what you have to do is to, if you include this, you have to include this, because what equivalence mean? It means that if within the model that Katrina was talking about, you start solving for instability, the equation for two are identical. You can break this identity by introducing curvature, but doing so, you introduce small correction to identity. And so you need to take a deep breath and redo Ginzburg-Landau analysis for 8-component order parameter. Why 8-component? Because you do the same as before, but now in each for each bond, you need to introduce two orders. One is charge, one is pair density wave. So which, of course, you can understand, makes the whole story rather complicated. But there is one physics effect I want to talk to you about. So first of all, of course, you do the same calculations. You use the model with small coupling and cutoff larger than the coupling and ask, play by the rules and ask what the state comes up. And there is a huge degeneracy. I mean, many states are degenerate within a particular approximation. But once you go beyond leading order, you find out that one state is selected by some, in my opinion, interesting physics. And here is the state. The state is a checkerboard. So the same, sometimes the same checkerboard as it was before. But it's checkerboard for composite order parameter, which consists of both charge density wave and pair density wave. And if you go inside and ask what is the rearrangement between charge and pair density waves within this checkerboard state, you find it's a combination of two stripes. Namely, state has pair density wave along one direction and charge density wave along another direction or other way around. So if you only look at charge density wave, it's stripe. It's only like this. If you look at pair density wave, it's only stripe. It's only like this. And the reason, at this stage, no, because,
it breaks C4.
Let me quickly answer the bit. It does at the end of the day, but for this, you need to include interaction between this guy, which will be next step. At this stage, there are many states that formally break time reversal, but it's just like magnetization. You can put up or down. It formally breaks time reversal, but it's still part of the same O3 rotation. So it's at this stage, it's like this. There are a number of states which you formally can say they break time reversal, but it's not a separate Z2 degree of freedom, which is broken. Yeah, come in. So question is, why the state is selected? And for this, let me make one simple observation. That in fact, it looks like we have a checkerboard state. You have order parameter here and you have order parameter here. But in fact, if you take these two guys and ask what is the transferred momentum, charge density wave carry transferred momentum, K1 minus K2. In this notation that I gave you, K1 minus K5. So you take them now within hotspot story, within magnetic hotspot story. So you take this point, dashed line is magnetic brilliant zone boundary. So let me take it here. Then transferred momentum will be, let's say, 2k0. You take pair density wave, between these two fermions. And you ask, what is the total momentum? Because pair density wave carry total momentum. And you find exactly the same. So in fact, this state is nominally checkerboard. In fact, this is a striped state, because both states carry the same momentum. And this momentum can be along x direction or can be along y direction. So it's two choices. You obviously break C4, but again, interesting is that two orthogonal states, one is called PDW, another is called CDW, in fact carry the same momentum. If PDW and CDW are along between the same fermions, they could carry orthogonal momentum. And first of all, partly answering to Subir's question, what this order does? Basically, PDW only helps charge order to develop in a striped form. And so you retain everything that we did before about charge order. So the state obviously breaks C4. But also, if you look at charge component and now include interaction between two horizontal bonds connected by Q, you find out that the relative phase is again plus minus pi over 2. In other words, there's a term in the action that favors relative phase to be pi over 2. So charge component breaks time reversal. For pair density wave, you cannot write the corresponding term because the two terms for pair density wave will carry different momentum, and that term would be violating momentum conservation. So you can only do this for charge component. But for charge component generates all incommensurate current state and care effect is there. But time is running, so let me finish with reasoning and one prediction for experiment. The reasoning why the state is selected is actually this, that if you take both charge density wave and pair density wave in this orthogonal fashion, remember they carry the same momentum. So they ask, can they generate a secondary order? They do. There are triangular terms, meaning that if you put in charge order and pair density wave, you immediately generate conventional uniform superconductivity. So combination of charge density wave and pair density wave along orthogonal directions immediately generates homogeneous k equal to zero superconducting order. You ask what symmetry of this order, and the answer is, either S wave or DXY, meaning only one thing. You go from one corner to the other, and this order doesn't change signs. There is no zero in between. And as a result, this leads to a rather specific prediction. Namely, you may ask, well, does it mean that the system is always a superconductor? The answer is yes. If the system has both pair density wave and charge density wave order, it is a superconductor. But it's a superconductor with a lot of damping coming from the normal state, because we introduce only secondary order. And I just copy it. It will take me a minute to finish. I just copied a picture from one of the previous works about D-wave, but the message is very simple. If you are in the normal state, there's a lot of damping. And so even if you create a small gap and you ask ARPES where the symmetrized peak will be at zero frequency. So the convention is very simple. When gap is smaller than normal state damping, no matter whether the gap is there in the theory, in reality, you see a peak at zero frequency. If the gap is larger than damping, you should see a peak at finite frequency. If you go at the same time into state where charge order coexists with real superconductivity, and there is a large superconducting D-wave gap, and of course, you kill damping at energies below 2 delta, then you should see this effect quite clearly. And prediction is this. There are two states possible. One is D-wave and this induced S, and another is D-wave plus induced S with some phase factor. They differ in how the spectral function look like, but in both cases, if you go along diagonal, strictly along diagonal, there will be no note. So the note will either disappear or shift away from the diagonal. And this is one of the prediction of all the stuff for experiment, that if pair density wave has anything to do with reality, then it should produce in combination with charge order this secondary effect with conventional superconductivity. I'll just flash at the very end that some of them may know that Patrick Lee made a statement some time ago that you need bare density wave to explain ARCUS. It's a correct statement. With pure charge density wave, you cannot explain some of ARCUS data. But since Lou is standing, I'll just flash what the endpoint is and show the phase diagram. Whole story about ARCUS, if you want to ask me questions during discussions. So this is a phase diagram, and basic story is the same. You have a state which is charge and pair density wave. It has preemptive transitions because it breaks also discrete symmetries. There are some details, but basically it's all here, and this is mod. How big this region with mod physics is, I don't know. Obviously, we cannot go into very low doping. Katrin made the same point. Okay, so I'm done.
Thank you, Andrew.